To stand for the reading of the word, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 10 and through verse 17. I believe I skipped these verses. The last time I preached from Matthew, we preached about the parable of the sower and the seed. And I want to backtrack and get this little passage that I skipped over, talking about the purpose of the parables. And I want to entitle this message today, The Secrets of the Kingdom of Heaven. Hallelujah. Now, there's no way that we are going to be able to cover everything that is revealed by Jesus as Matthew records it here in chapter 13. We're not going to get through all this today, but I'm telling you, and I don't even know what's there yet, but I can't wait to get to it. Hallelujah. If the Lord is gracious. But we're going to lay a foundation into it. Matthew 13, verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them. Aren't you glad that God answers our prayers? "To you it has been given to know the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have in abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." You better watch out what you do with Jesus. "This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their eyes, with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear." Let me tell you something, church. The presence of the Lord is here in this building today for one purpose: to turn you and to heal you. God is trying to fix what's broken in your life.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And all we need to do is crack the door open and let Him in, and He will fix what has been messed up inside of you and turn you into a glorious, shining example of His love and grace and mercy, that the world can know and see what God has done in your life and look at you and say, "I know God is real."
Amen.
Because of what God is doing in your life, let me have some of what you've been having. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and give Jesus some praise and worship right now. Hallelujah, Lord. We know that you are changing us, transforming us, enlightening us, making us godly and spiritual. And God, we open up our heart's door today. Throw open the windows and the shades, and we invite the wind of your Holy Spirit to blow into our souls with the fresh air of your Holy Ghost. And have your way, Lord, and change us and inspire us today. In Jesus' name. Look at your neighbor and say, "I got to tell you a secret. You may be seen." Now, one of the things that I have discovered, I've seen this, and I've read ahead, of course, in Matthew, and looking at different things, and this chapter has me curious. Why does Jesus keep mentioning the kingdom of heaven? Why in the other Gospels do they call it the kingdom of God? And why does Matthew call it the kingdom of heaven? What point is he trying to get across? This is the point that Matthew is trying to get across. And that is this, that Matthew is obsessed with heaven. Hallelujah. Matthew is obsessed with heaven and always contrasting it with the earth. And I haven't started my sermon yet, but this is an introduction. He speaks of heaven 82 times in his gospel, and that is more than the other three gospels combined. He connects heaven with the Father over 20 times. He refers to the kingdom of heaven 55 times. And he refers to heaven and earth 20 times. Matthew is obsessed with heaven. How many of you didn't know that about Matthew? How many of you didn't know that about the book of Matthew? Matthew, of all the other gospel writers and all of the rest of the writers of the New Testament combined, is more obsessed with heaven than any other writer in the Bible. Every major shift that Matthew tells us about in Christ's life is framed with the contrast between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdoms of this earth. Hallelujah. And his point is this: a kingdom of necessity must have a king. And Matthew is building a theology of this king, Jesus, coming to rule both heaven and earth. Hallelujah. Jesus came from heaven. That's the message. And he returned to heaven. That's also the message. And the next part of the message is this: we are waiting for Jesus to come back from heaven again. And when he comes, King Jesus is going to wed heaven and earth. A wedding, as it were, between Christ and the church. We're all God is and all we were meant to be, are united in a perfect, eternal, blissful oneness. Hallelujah. That's quite an obsession right there. Jesus came to the earth as a man, a parable in and of himself, to reveal the secrets of God's kingdom. He didn't come to sit on a royal throne and bask in the glory of his people. He didn't come to lead his armies in a battle charge against the Roman Empire. He didn't come to build a palace filled with magnificent monuments to his exploits. But Jesus came to reveal the heart of God. He came to show us the love of God and to spread God's mercy and grace out on the human race. Jesus came to heal the deep wound of sin, which left God's relationship with humanity scarred, poisoned, and impotent. He didn't come to just deal with symptoms. Hallelujah, of a broken heart. Hallelujah, he didn't come to just wipe away tears and pat us on the back. But he came to deal with the problem of sin directly, intimately, and intricately. That's why Jesus came. But not everyone was able to grasp these secrets. People were so stuck in their present earthly reality that the spiritual heavenly kingdom was beyond their grasp. Hallelujah! Jesus raised the dead, and they didn't get it. Jesus opened the blind eyes, and they didn't get it. Jesus unstopped the deaf ears and raised the lame from off of their bed of crippledness, and they didn't get it. And so what Jesus began to do was he began to use parables to reveal the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. People are so stuck in their earthly reality that Jesus began to use their earthly reality to teach them the secret of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I know you might be thinking, how is speaking in parables going to make things easier to understand? I had the same exact thought. How would it make it easier, and why would he be making it hard? But therein lays the genius of Jesus. Because heaven and earth are supernaturally intertwined. Now, I'll let y'all get by with this on Wednesday night. And I don't have high expectations in the adult Bible class. But if y'all can shout and worship and run the aisles and dance and speak in tongues unto God while the songs and the music is playing, you can get with the preaching of the Word of God, because there is anointing here today. Well, Brother Love, I'm waiting for you to say something to catch my interest and to pique me and to get me all stirred up. Hallelujah. I'm waiting. Maybe it's because you ain't stirred up, I ain't saying anything that's going to pique you. Heaven and earth are supernaturally intertwined. No matter the object, the person, the place, even the thoughts or our emotions are all tied together by the power of God.
Amen.
Amen.
God is spirit, which means breath or wind. You're not even sitting here today as a being unless God has breathed into you the breath of life.
Amen.
Paul said, even as some of your own scholars have said, that in him we live and we move and we have our being. The blood that pumps through your heart right now and your veins and your brains going out into your muscles. Hallelujah. The chemicals that jump and convey electrical impulses across the synapses of your nervous system. The way your brain communicates with your body. Amen. Is all intertwined and empowered by the Word of God. It is the spark of life that makes us who we are. Hallelujah. And somebody needs to recognize, hallelujah, that we're not just flesh and blood. We're not fighting, Paul said, with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of wickedness and darkness in high places. There is a spiritual war that is waging. Hallelujah. And I'm afraid that the church and the world and people in general have grown bored with preaching. They have grown bored with God, and they have grown bored with life. There is something wrong with the church. Amen. When we can no longer recognize our uniqueness, our exceptionalism, there's something wrong with us when we no longer understand. Hallelujah. That the earth began to exist. Everything that begins to exist has a cause. The earth began to exist at some point in time. And so we know that because the earth began to exist, that something caused it to exist. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today what the cause of creation was and is. And it was the Word of the living eternal I Am, God of all time, who was and is and is to come. And He is here today, and He is empowering us, and He is assuring us and awakening something inside of us. That has grown cold and dull and dense. Jesus would take something out of our everyday lives, something so ordinary that we wouldn't even give it a second thought, and reveal an eternal truth or a divine mystery hiding behind an earthly reality. He said previously in Matthew 11, 25, 26 and 27, at that time, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son. And anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal Him. Amen. God is trying to reveal Himself to the church. He's trying to reveal Himself to the human race. He's trying to show us secrets. Hallelujah. The interconnectedness of all things. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about the internet and your microwave, your stove, your dishwasher, and your TV. But I'm talking about the interconnectedness that was connected long before the internet was invented. Long before a computer chip came out of a factory. Long before there was a car. Long before there was a wheel. There was a God. Long before there was a wheel. There was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Hallelujah. It's time. Amen. To understand. It's time to comprehend. There are secrets that we must grasp if we are going to succeed, if we are going to go forward. How many of you feel sometimes like God is so close, like you're so close to something that is about to break loose in your life? How many of you feel like sometimes, if I could just say this one prayer, if I could just take this one step, if I could just turn a key in this one lock, and everything for me would change, and the glory and the illumination of God would come to me, and I would instantaneously be transformed into somebody that is so different than what I was. Hallelujah. That is, amen, exactly what you're supposed to be feeling. That is exactly what God is calling us to, and that is exactly what Jesus came to reveal.
Amen. Amen.
There are so many people with their heads down and they're grinding through their daily routines and they never give a second thought to what all this is for. I was reading an article this week and there was a poet and he had written some amazing poetry and writings and books, and they were interviewing him and they wanted to know, when did you become a poet? When did you become such a great writer? And he looked at the interviewer and he said, you have asked the wrong question. As a matter of fact, your question is broken. There's something wrong with your question. He said, I was born. Everybody was born. Hallelujah. Poets and writers. Hallelujah. The Bible says, from the mouth of babes, that God has perfected praise. Hallelujah. The Bible said, even the children, when Jesus came riding on a donkey into Jerusalem in his triumphal entry, right before his crucifixion, that the children were crying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they tried to shut them up. And Jesus said, if these hold their peace, the rocks will cry out. Hallelujah. Because all creation knows, every living human being knows, that there is a God in heaven who loves us and who's moving in our lives. Hallelujah. And he said, the question you have asked is wrong-headed. He said, the question isn't, when did I become a poet or a writer? But the question is, when did people stop becoming poets and writers? When did you lose your creativity? When did you lose your wonder of the world? When did you stop, hallelujah, exploring and adventuring into the glorious creation that God placed us in? And start going through the day with your head down, grinding through your routines. Parables make things super simple. They demystify the most difficult spiritual realities. And they stop people in their tracks and make them see the hidden kingdom. And for a moment, they have a choice. Hallelujah. Should I pay attention to this new information? Should I make a change here? Should I investigate further? And it is a crucial choice that we make. Everything hinges on what we decide and what we do in the moment when the secret is offered. I like what, hallelujah, the disciples, Jesus is tantalizing his hearers to step beyond his story. Why is he telling stories? Duh, he's telling stories for a reason. Why is he telling stories? He's telling stories so you can ask questions. A lot of parents say that to their kids. And, Mom, why are you doing that? Daddy, why are we going over here? I'm doing, we're going over here so you can ask me questions while we're going over here. But the funny thing about it is that is exactly what Jesus was doing. He was piquing their curiosity. And he was calling them to look past his amazing displays of power and to see the kingdom of heaven. To view a glimpse of the God of heaven and the King eternal. Yes, the disciples initially were baffled by these parables. But they had something that the crowd did not have. They had a hunger and thirst to know more. They weren't satisfied to head back to the house after church, patting one another on the back, talking about how good of a move of God was had. Instead of heading home with their heads down thinking, okay, that was weird, they went right to Jesus and demanded an explanation. I wish that we were all more like the disciples. They were curious. They were demanding. And they were insatiable in their thirst for spiritual knowledge. I wish that we could be more like that as well. James said in his book, chapter 1, verse 5 through 8, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. With somebody, I wish somebody could get an amen here, or somebody could hear what I'm saying today. Why am I going through this sickness? Hallelujah, dummy. Because Jesus wants to show you some secrets in the kingdom of God. Why am I dealing with this baffling, irritating situation? Why is this relationship struggling? Why am I confounded with the problems of life? Well, Mr. Dense and Sister Dense, hallelujah, God is calling you deeper. Amen. Bring your problems. Bring your prayers. Make your requests known unto God.
Amen.
Ask him in faith. Everybody say faith.
Faith.
When the disciples came to Jesus, they didn't go, well, Lord, you know, hallelujah. I know you're busy, Jesus. Spit on myself, hallelujah. Jesus, we know you're busy, and we're sorry about asking about this, you know, because we feel kind of stupid here. I know we should know the answers to this question already, but just stay in the house. Get back on Facebook. You are not going to get anything from God. When they came to Jesus, they demanded, why are you speaking in parables? Tell us the reason. Tell us the meaning. Hallelujah. Ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Did Brother Stacy get on my sermon today, or did he get on my sermon today? Hallelujah. I have high expectations of worship leaders. If they ain't getting on my sermon, they're not going to be worship leaders for long. Because we need to be of one mind and one spirit in God. And we need to be moving in that Holy Spirit. And that's how we know, amen, that this man or this woman is moving in the Holy Spirit. You may not catch all of that. You may not see it or understand it. Amen. But God wants to show us things. God is calling us to greater things. And there is a moment of decision that we make. Am I going to go deeper? Or am I going to try to sort things out myself? Using human wisdom. You know what's going to happen then? You're just going to sink further and further and further down. Jesus came to reveal secrets about heaven. He came to call our attention to important things, things that matter, things that are eternal. He came to challenge us to refocus on real treasures. Listen to what Matthew said in chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. You'll never guess what Matthew tells us to lay up our treasures. Don't lay your treasures up on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You have a choice. Because the parable has double effect. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts on both sides. It cuts going in, and it cuts even worse coming out. Jesus said that those that see will be made blind. Those that think they hear will be deaf. And their hearts will become hard and they will never understand what God is doing in the world. Amen. Until it's too late to make a change. But those who see that glimmer of hope, hallelujah, who come to God in true love and a sincere heart, amen, the parables and other teachings of God become a doorway to another level of grace and insight. And what starts as a little glimmer or ray of light through a crack in the door becomes a blazing spotlight when you seek it out. But for those who are insincere and uncommitted, that ray of hope is completely snuffed out. They completely miss out on what God was about to do in their lives and anything God was already going to do and anything God that was already doing. Anything that God was already doing, I got it that time, comes to a stop. Let's stand together today. I didn't like what that preacher had to say. You know what a person with a true and sincere heart does that has personality conflicts with the pastor? They find another church. But they don't stop going to church. They don't stop loving God. They don't stop serving God. They go somewhere else. Not where they can be fed, but where they can feel a part. But too many people, they see a little light peeking through and they slam closed the blinds. They pull the curtains across and they block out any hope or any glimmer that they may have had. And you see these people. God presents them with a challenge, with a secret, with a spiritual reality. And they make a decision. They close the door and they never come back. They don't go to church somewhere else. They just stay at home. And the pull that was on them to come to God is severed. The attraction, the curiosity is gone. And there's nothing left in its place but darkness, hopelessness, and pain. And they go through the rest of their days wondering. Everything that happens to us is a teachable moment, so long as we bring it to God. You have questions? Bring it to Him. You've got confusion? Bring it to Him. Anxiety? Jesus will impart secrets. I have one more scripture that I jotted down in the notes here. Jeremiah 33:3. It's easy to remember. 33:3. Everybody say 33:3. Y'all got it. He says this: call to me and I will answer you. And will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. He was calling to a backslid nation. He was calling to an idolatrous, cheating wife. He was calling to a people who had closed the door. All the glory of God had been erased from their minds and their hearts. The prophet cried out to those people, call to me and I will answer. Why would they have to do that? Because God grew tired of calling to them, having the door slammed in his face over and over and over and over. The writer said because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that God turned them over to a corrupt and reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. How many of you love convenience? There ain't nothing of greater convenience than having 24/7 access to the Creator, the King, Jesus. I don't know what I'm going to do about this family situation. And I agree with Sister Morris. And I agree with Brother Stacy. Sometimes when you're praying, you have little, God just like pulls the curtain back quickly and a light flashes and then it's closed again so quick in this distorted mirror that we look through, this human flesh and this twisted human mind. God is always trying to sort out. And I was praying for Brother Stacy and Sister Jean. And it was just like, a completely natural thing. You know, you got to throw Caden in there. You got to throw him in there. And then I could feel the Holy Ghost. And I started praying for Martise and Charisse. I thought, that's weird. They only came here for about, I don't pray for visitors, like, you know, they're just coming, you know, and going and stuff like that. But I mean, the Lord laid it on me. And I was like, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I pray that you will protect them. I pray that you would have your hand over that. I didn't know what God was doing. God knows what He's doing. He's constantly trying to show us things. We just need to start paying better attention. And when we run smack dab into a baffling riddle in life, we need to walk into our prayer closet and lay it out and say, here it is, Jesus. Hallelujah. I went home from the soup kitchen a couple weeks in a row now, just kind of sad. Because some of the best sermons that I had preached in 2018 were at the soup kitchen. Ain't no joke. I preached one of them in Florida. You heard what Brother Strong said when he was here. What he said? He said, Brother Rob has finally become a preacher. He was joking around, but from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I preached a good one down there. I mean, I let her rip, tater chip. You know what I preached? I preached a soup kitchen devotion. As I was praying, and I said, God, I know I'm going to Florida here. And sometimes they ask me to preach, is there anything you want me to say to that church? And he spoke to me. He said, you preached that devotion that you gave at the soup kitchen. And I sit there at their house. hand wrote all my notes out. Even had a preacher come up to me after church who was visiting and said, can I have the notes on that sermon? You know how many times preachers have come up to me and asked me for the notes on my sermons? God is wanting to reveal things to us. And I've been going home from the soup kitchen disappointed the past several weeks because I'm like, God, I'm ready when you are. I'm ready for another. If you're from Wayne County, you know what that means. I'm ready to hear another word like them others. Hallelujah. I've got some powerful words. And I just can't wait every day because I know this book is full of treasure. And I'm just like, God, is this week going to be the week? And it keeps me coming back for more because I'm hungry for it. I'm thirsty for it. Hallelujah. It took me a whole entire day of Bible study, but I found something new. Hallelujah. In the Bible, I found a man named Matthew who was obsessed with heaven. And I believe that he was listening to Jesus. And I believe that he picked up on a theme and started writing them down in his mind. I remember when Jesus said this about heaven. I remember when Jesus said that about heaven. I remember when he said this and this and this and this. It's a chance for you. God is calling this church. Let's bow our heads together right now. God is calling you.